Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
It is interesting to me. God wants to bless her, that through her, he might bless many. God wants to bless you, bless me, bless us, that through us, we might bless many. Throughout the scriptures, that pattern is there. God wants to move in and through our lives, but that in so doing, God's looking because God needs a man. God needs a guy to be his guy. God wants someone that is dedicated and committed to him. And you see, this young child that he's going to bless her with, now all of a sudden, what's happening? Through prayer, she has gotten in sync, in time with the heart of God and God's real purpose in what he's wanting to do. God is ultimately now going to fulfill this prayer. He's going to answer that prayer, but it's in accordance with his will, isn't it? Because the desire is ultimately that he needs and wants to have a guy, Samuel, that is all his. So now all of a sudden, it's coming into its right form. And it's, I love this aspect as she shares, Hannah answers and shares with Eli what's really taking place, what's really going on. Isn't it interesting? God's wanting not just for her to have this child, but God's wanting her to have the best of the situation. Oh, what a powerful thought. Really, it is through time she got in connection or in harmony with God, and that happens to you and to me through prayer. We think that prayer, our prayer changes things. It can, but it's more that it changes us. It gets us in sync with God and what he's really wanting to do and how he's really wanting to move and how he's really wanting to use a situation. So what I see here is a great example as now she speaks these words out, which really are words of faith as Eli responds to her. She said these things to him. He now responds to her in verse 17. Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. He speaks out by faith, telling her, you know what? God's going to grant that for you. God's going to bless you that way. And she says, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She received by faith what Eli had told her. She believed as she had spoke out in request that God had answered and spoke to her. That's a powerful thing to realize because, you know, to me, this idea of word of faith and some of this stuff has come with some maybe not so positive connotations in certain ways because there's been some abuse in this concept. But the truth of how the concept works is found in the word, the truth of how it works. And this is one of those things. It's not a blabbing and grabbing, is it? It's not just a naming something and claiming something and taking it for yourself. What really happened here was she was asking, making a request of the Lord, and God had prepared her heart. And as she made that request, she said, man, Lord, I will give him to you. And all the days of his life that he would serve him, he would basically be a Nazirite, a servant of the Lord. And God's looking for a man. Not only does he want to bless her, but he wants not just as her desire would be to give her husband a son, you see, that would take away her shame, would give her husband a son. And he's saying, well, that's great, but I need a prophet for a nation. So not only does she give her husband a son, but now the best can take place, more than just the original concept that was likely the prayer, you see. Now it's taken on this new form as she's been waiting, letting God minister and letting God do the work. And again, this idea of these words of faith which were spoken, Eli spoke it out by faith, telling her, yes, you know, so be it. And she received it. And let's read on and see what happens next. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So they had relations, intimate relations. And ultimately, in this process, and it came to pass in the process of time, that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel. Heard by God, or, you know, God had heard her prayer, or, you know, asked of God, and she received, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. And then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. I like this interchange again with Elkanah and Hannah, and how he talks with her and he listens to what she says and he has a good response to what she says. Yeah, do what seems best to you. You know, he hasn't lessened his role of leadership, has he? He says, yeah, okay, do what seems best to you. But I like what he says. He says, only let the Lord establish his word. And I like this idea of the priority there of that relationship with the Lord and the word. That, hey, you know, that's fine. And we're going to keep the Lord and his word as the priority in our home, in our relationship. And okay, fine. He goes in agreement with that. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. So he's approximately 3 years old, to the best of what we can tell. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. She followed through with this commitment that she had made to give this child back to the Lord, to give the baby back. Don't you know that God honors those things? When we surrender to the Lord and honor God with not only our children, but honor God with our lives, as we do those things and follow through with those things and just commit ourselves wholly over to the Lord. You know, Dan mentioned during worship about, you know, that idea of being a living sacrifice. You know, it's our reasonable service to the Lord, basically. And the reason that got stated was because of all of the other things that were stated in Romans. Because of all of the goodness of God, because of the grace and mercy of God toward us, as you read through Romans, and you see how good God is to us. And it's the only reasonable response we could have is to just give our lives wholly over to God. That's basically how that comes into being. And that's true, isn't it? What other response could there be, you know, other than just surrendering ourselves over to the Lord? I think it's interesting, as we had gotten started in this story, we watch Elkanah. He really can't fix the problem, and His desire would be, as guys, that's part of our desire. We listen to our wives and we're listening with a fix-it mentality. And I've shared with you even recently that, hey, might ask in advance because they may not want you to fix something. Maybe they just want you to listen. And so sometimes, but we have a fix-it mentality. But you know what? This was something that Elkanah knew he could not fix himself. He couldn't make it right. He couldn't fix it. And he knew that. He can't fix this particular issue. And I think it's interesting for us as couples, for us as families, for us as people, there are things in our lives that happen sometimes that we really can't fix. There's things that go on that we can't make right totally ourselves. It's not possible. I don't know if you've ever had a friendship or a relationship or a situation like that just go bad. Things just went to a place that to try and repair that. And I'm telling you, even in the Lord, sometimes that can be very difficult when that happens. And to try and get in there and repair that. And you just know, gosh, it just gets worse and worse. You know, there's not much to say or do. But isn't it wonderful what we have through prayer? Is that we see, we can look to the Lord. They as a couple, she had to. He had to let God be God in that matter. He couldn't fix that for her. And she couldn't fix it for herself. And they had to go together. She had to get into that place where she sought the Lord to let God be God. And I think that is so important in this beginning of the concept of prayer. I think it's so important as she heard the word, she believed, but she not only believed, she began to walk in that. She began to trust the Lord with the situation. Let's kind of look through this prayer that she had just for a moment. You might note a couple of these things that I think it's helpful through your prayer time and in your quiet times with the Lord. I think these things are very helpful. There's a handful of little thoughts in this that I think are worthwhile. Initially, first off, we know that Hannah went to the Lord, brought the situation that seemingly was impossible, something she couldn't fix herself as an individual. It was outside of her. Have you noticed how often God gets us up against a wall? It's outside of our ability to fix or do something with it. But you see, that gives God great opportunity. Because when we go into the New Testament, we find out that grace is perfected in weakness. In that when I am at the end of myself, strength is perfected in that weakness of my inability to do something. Strength is perfected. How can strength be perfected? Well, this way, because I have to cease on my end and cast myself wholly into the Lord to let God do something with that. So I'm back up against the wall, can't do anything myself, but strength is perfected in that weakness, in that when I step out in full dependence on God, that is where we are at our strongest, is when we are fully reliant on God, totally trusting God. All of a sudden, man, you have at your disposal all the powers and forces of the universe through the living God. Isn't that? That's a wonderful concept. And don't you know it? That's the truth. That's the truth. I've experienced it over and over and over again in my journey with the Lord. I think the life of faith is the greatest adventure ever because of that. Because just when I think, well, this just doesn't look good. You know, I don't know how. I don't understand any of this. Back up against the wall, and we have to full on just trust this to God. And God's saying, gosh, that's great. Wish you'd get there a little sooner, Jim. You know, wouldn't it be great if you just lived your life that way, Jim? Wouldn't it be great if you never picked up that stuff and tried to do it all yourself anyway? And they go, oh, gosh, Lord, you're so good. You're so gracious to me, allowing me still the opportunity. So she's getting it into the right hands, right? Through prayer. That's the main thing. And then God's wanting to do something bigger than what she may have realized. She's just wanting to please her husband and to kind of be in good standing, you see? God's looking for something greater. Isn't that wonderful? Hannah heard from God. Hannah talked with God, and she also listened for the Lord. Hannah heard from God. We see as she pours out her heart in verse 17, when Eli answers and says to her, "Go in peace, the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." She heard from God. Now, it was through a vehicle, wasn't it? It was through another individual, but she heard from God. And I really believe we can hear from God, and it can be through all kinds of different ways. It can be confirmation from Scripture. It can be through other individuals. It can be all kinds of different circumstances and situations, but I think it's important for us to hear from God. And I think it's important when we're listening for the Lord that we're listening openly. Is it yes, no, wait? Is it what is it that we're waiting, we want to hear from God? What are we hearing? She heard from God. I think the second thing we see is that she believed God for what he had spoken. She heard from the Lord, and then she believes God in it. Verse 18, we see that she says, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." She went her way, ate, and her face was no longer sad. By faith, she believed God for it. I think that's so important. Not only do we seek the Lord through prayer, but when we hear from God, we are to believe God for it. You know, that idea of put all your weight upon, that's that idea of belief, putting all your weight into it, fully trusting, believing God for it. The next thing we see, they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. They really did rejoice in what God had done. She was joyous now. She was pleased knowing that God had heard her prayer, and she believed God for it, and she's now rejoicing the Lord in it. I think these are important things as we're going through this process. Are you, when you're praying, are you saying, "Thank you, God? Thank you, God, because I know you're going to answer this in the best way. Thank you, God, because I believe you can take care of this situation. Thank you, God." I mean, believing him for it and rejoicing in the Lord in it. What a great truth. The next thing that I think is really, really cool is she conceived. It came to pass. Do you realize this is the process that takes place in prayer? That which we have prayed for ultimately is conceived. It takes place. It comes to pass. This is the process by which prayer takes place. And in its conclusion, I love this part. I think this is so important. In the latter part of verse 19, she, not only as the prayer is answered, but you know, she responds back to God, acknowledges that it was from the Lord. And I think that she didn't lose sight of the fact that she had prayed. She didn't lose sight of the fact she remembered what her prayer was. She remembered that this was from the Lord. She remembered this was something she asked for of God. I think sometimes we think, I bet we have so many prayers that are answered by God, but we forget what we were praying for. You know, we prayed way back here. See, time is not the same for God as it is for us. This thing that we prayed for years and years ago, and all of a sudden God begins to bring it to pass in his time. And all of a sudden we're in the mix of answer, prayer being answered, but we aren't seeing it as such because we don't remember really what we prayed for then. It's funny, we pray for patience, don't we, sometimes? And we start going through all kinds of trials. And we don't understand why God's putting us through all this. Well, that's how you get patience. You go through trials. It's simple little things like that that we're looking for understanding. Lord, I want to know you more intimately. And then a season of great suffering can come upon us. We want to know you more intimately. I want to walk with you more closely, Lord. And we spend all our time crying in our soup over, oh, why has God put this on me? And it's all about us and how we've been messed up and just done wrong. And then we've just been jacked on every angle of everything. Really? I thought you wanted to be intimate with me. That's what Jesus would say. I thought you wanted to be intimate with me. I guarantee you, I know the Lord so much better than I ever would have known him before because I've been in part of suffering. I've been in struggles and deep difficulties. And because of that, there's a knowledge and a compassion and understanding and also a knowledge of God's sovereignty and his love and his care for us in the midst. And we spend all our time insulating ourselves, protecting ourselves from any kind of struggling or suffering. And yet in the mix of that is really how we get to know the Lord so much more intimately. And the fellowship of his sufferings. There's great fellowship that's found with the Lord in the midst of suffering. And so we ought not to, you know, despise those things when in fact maybe we really did pray and seek the Lord wanting those things. I think it's great. Hannah here remembered that she had prayed what she had prayed for. She didn't forget that it was God that answered that prayer. And the Lord remembered her. She remembered that it was God, that it was the one that was answering that prayer. And I think that's so significant in our prayer life, in our times, our quiet times with the Lord, that we're connecting with all of those thoughts, realizing that, hey, maybe God not answering right away is maybe a good thing, because maybe God's wanting to do the best, not just a good thing, you see? Maybe God's wanting to do something even better than what we could ever know or be a part of. I've watched that play out so many times. I think that idea of hearing from the Lord and believing God, it stirs my mind to think of what James said when they were to ask for basically wisdom or looking for counsel from the Lord. And they asked for wisdom. And James' response was, don't ask doubting, but ask in faith. Believing that God will, because God will give to all liberally. God will give wisdom. He wants to give wisdom. He wants to give insight. He wants to help us in our situation. And we have to rest in that. We have to rest in that simple trust with the Lord. I think this is a wonderful display of how prayer really works and how God actually moves in and through that. And obviously, as we go through, we're going to look in the next chapter as we get started next week into her specific prayer. We get some insight into her heart and how she prays and how she brings things to the Lord. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the Word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you, and maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith. And I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to him. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life. And I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart. And I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you.
You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.